Live and international, the Midwood Files.
On 11LR and I, it's LF Midwood. With talk and more.
Kiss the Del Lords. Let me see what my is that all right? Yeah, that's good. John played a solo version Eric Amble, old Roscoe, just Roscoe, playing Judas Kiss. So it's kind of, it was stuck in my head. It was kind of lots of things stuck in my head. But yeah, that one, that track was stuck in my head. And I looked around and I saw some live stuff of that that Eric Amble had done. But I said, you know what? Just my luck. I'll play the one that he has that he put some effort into. And I said, you know what? Just let me play the original. That was from the Del Lords, based on a true story album. I think it was their third album. I think that's right. Anyway, welcome to Midwood Files. Hang on. Let me get rid of that. Yeah. Okay. My name is L.F. Midwood, and this is a Proof of Life broadcast. Yes, it is. I tell you the truth, John and I did a show last week at, I guess that'd be like 10 o'clock or something. You know, he's old. He needs to go to sleep early. It was like 10 o'clock, maybe even 9 o'clock. We did about an hour of the Midwood Files with John, obviously, sitting in. And, due to technical reasons, we lost the recording. So for those of you who actually heard the recording while it was occurring, you are amongst the very few. And I got to tell you, I'm really tired. I guess it all caught up with me. Maybe the traveling, 3.5-4 hours on a bus will wipe you out. I guess I spent the last 10 of the last 14 days, give or take, in the 11L R&I studios, trying to get the server online. The week before this one, I went down there and we had a plan, and we set it up, and I was having some issues, and I called Larry Will, and he helped me out, and that box was basically kind of up and running mostly, except for some things that needed to be done that I could do at a later date. So while that was occurring, I went home. That took like 4 days, 5 days, maybe it was 4 or 5 days. That sounds right. I went home, meaning I came back to, Providence, although that word home is, it's an interesting word. But anyway, I went home and, I guess I got back on like a Monday, I'm guessing. And I was home Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then I got a phone call on Friday. It's really funny because I had mentioned to John, I had just put him through on, added him to my favorites on my phone so that when he calls me, it rings no matter what time it is. Very exclusive club there. And I recognized the ring. I don't care to tell you what the ring is, but I recognized the ring. So I picked up the phone half asleep and I said, "Hey, what's going on?" And he explained that the server that we had set up was having issues. It was doing funny stuff and he didn't like it. So I said, "Okay, what do you want to do?" So we got another server. We got another box and we ordered it right there while I was still actually hadn't unpacked my suitcase. What's that say about me? and I said I'd be down. I'd catch the 7 o'clock out of Providence, which I did. And so I wound up back at the 11L R&I studios around midnight on Friday night, last Friday that just passed. And no, that couldn't be Friday before, right? Because yesterday was Friday. I get it. Okay. So we started. I started working on a new box, it turns out that I configured the IceCast server correctly. I didn't realize what was going on with IPs, where I had it's three different IPs on that thing. One IP if you're encoding directly from the box that the server is on, that's one IP. If you're on the network that the server is on, that's a different IP. And if you're encoding from the outside, Dave and I do, it's an entirely different IP. So I got a little tracked up in that. So we got that worked out, which is great. And the only problem we have now is the friggin' the web server because we use removable media, meaning removable hard drives and such, and or John does anyway for archive purposes. So we need to have one of those on the box, so that we can serve files to the public, to you folks. And it seems that Apache, Apache, I was doing a ton, Apache server, it's squawking at that. So I put another call in to Larry, and he's doing deep diving on what may help us out in that situation. And you know, and having conversations with Larry twice in 2 weeks, I've been, you know, I should call the guy more, not for nothing. I hate calling people just when I have a problem, so I'll have to put him into my rotation, because half the call is like, hey, what's going on, you know? Which is cool, which is, you know, I like that. I've always liked that. He's going to try and figure that out and get back to us. And last night, I configured some Shoutcast service, which we're not using any longer, to for Gymnasium over at the Hank and Jim Radio, Pete Radio Network. So he should be up and running with that stuff. It's been a lot of work. You know, it's obviously going on 2 weeks. The box didn't even arrive until Sunday night. So I arrived on Friday, and this way all I needed to do was sit around on Saturday and shoot the shit. And I gotta be honest with you, it was really good to spend time with John Lining. How much time was required for me to get that good feeling, I couldn't tell you. And I'm sure he could say the same. But he took care of me real well. I was fed well. I was able to smoke, a couple of wake and bakes when I wasn't really doing anything too serious. We had to have a truck roll from Verizon because the box wasn't pingable from the outside. It only took me X amount of days to figure that one out. I actually was clued to that when I was actually on the phone with Larry the first time, because he's like, I can't reach it from the outside. And I'm like, why might that be? You know, and then you scratch your head. And then it's really funny. Early on, I started to feel like there was something not quite right. So I said to John, I said, who's listed as the tech person on the account, you know, when you call in, you know, meaning Verizon. And he says, pretty sure it was him. And I said, well, you might want to set it up so that it's me, because I'm probably going to be the one dealing with whatever issues on that end may arise over the life of this server. So, I have to follow up with him on that. And you may have noticed while I was there, he gave me some spiffy new, opening, with a tat of maiden at the end. And, I got a spiffy new closing. You'll hear, I guess, when I'm done dramatizing. Let me open this. I'm not going to tell you what this is, but it's not good for me. That much I'm willing to tell you. That's good. And, I gotta say, I've been dragging ass. I came home, like I said, I guess it was, what's today, Saturday? I came home Thursday night? Yeah, Thursday night I came home. And I've been falling back into getting up later. I was the latest I got up when I was at John's was at like 11:30. And the latest I stayed up, it's hard to tell because we rolled the sidewalks up around midnight, 12:30 around those parts. And I would go upstairs into the guest room, which has been redone over fabulously, I might add. And I would have my I'd have my phone or my tablet with me, so I would, you know, and I wasn't taking my daily, like the day dose of pills, because it makes me basically stupid. Just trying to figure out how to describe it. It makes me a little stupidy, so I shouldn't really be around running parts and such or of that nature, or, you know, code or anything like that. So I don't know. I fell asleep a couple of times with my phone on my chest. I know I rolled over on it because I was taking my night meds plus my sleeping pills. And I'm taking a new Restlaw, I think it is. I'm taking a new sleeping pill with that melatonin stuff. So my sleep has been probably there. It was probably more regular than anywhere else. But I was getting up anywhere between 6:30 and 11:30, usually closer to like 8 or 9. Although one morning, because I was really, really spry and I wanted to get cracking, I got up at like 6:30. I got up before John did. I was downstairs working before John did, and that was somewhat shocking to him. But, it's possible. I wanted to get stuff done. I was like, holy smokes. I started to feel a little bit like a hostage, you know? And I wanted to get the hell out of it. I wanted to go back to where I came from. There's really no other way to put it. I missed the producer and I missed the cats. And since this place has been cleaned up, it's a lot better, you know? One interesting thing is I smoked a whole lot that first week and I didn't get sick. And I smoked a whole lot the second week and I didn't get sick. Those of you who know me long term, I even switched strains and I didn't get sick. So interesting, right? So we're left with still feeling that it was the house and the contents of the house that were making me ill. That whole time that I was ill. But I got some follow-ups to do. I'm going to make some appointments with my doctors, and I got one or two appointments I need to make with my specialist, my neurologist, and my endocrinologist, I guess. I have a new doctor. This is really kind of interesting. My old doc, where my old doctor was pretty far away, and I didn't want to have to Uber all that way. So I said, well, I'm going to switch more of my medical stuff back to the place that's local to me, that's like a mile away or something. So I show up, and it's like a female version of Doctor Who from like the 70s. That's how this woman came across, which was really kind of interesting. We started talking, and it turns out that she's a Trump supporter. She's a conservative. And I was like, really? Because you don't really get that too much in this area, especially in the Caps, which are very liberal in their thinking and what they do and whatnot. Turns out she's still quite a bit in debt from, and she's an older woman. She's quite a bit in debt from friggin' nursing and a nursing degree, and then she had a regular. She's actually a physician's assistant. So we were in there for an hour. I mean, it was like, she's like, they're going to be so mad at me, but we were catching up on stuff that I needed to catch up on, and because I hadn't been in a while. I hadn't been since Jerry passed. I hadn't been to my doctor. So we're starting off a great relationship. The only problem is that my blood sugar went from 6.4, which is really, really like almost pre-diabetic, to 12.8, yeah, in like 3-4 months. Most likely because I was slugging down the that blue stuff from Powerade, and Gatorade as well, the two of them together kind of almost, and soda. Speaking of soda, I drank a whole case of Coca-Cola over at John's. And that's just metal cans. That doesn't count the cherry Cokes that I was able to get away from him when he wasn't looking. And he always has Mexico Coke on hand. And I drank a couple few of those as well over the whole stint. So I don't even know how much I smoked way too much, but I also drank way too much. So I'm going to have to stop fucking around here or something bad's going to happen to me. it's really going to go to sleep and not wake up or something. So, yeah, I got plans, we ate, we had a challah, like the lamb challah and chicken challah with rice. There's a challah place that's still open down Reservoir Avenue. That's real good. We haven't had it in a while. So I said, well, when we eat out, you want to order some food? So the producer was like, okay. So we ordered it. So we got a bunch of sodas, which I'm still drinking. That's what I opened. I'll admit it. I'll put my cards on the table. I'll admit it. I'm a bad liar. The thing of it is it smells like challah in here, which is really distracting to me. I'll leave it at that. It was a good, like I said, overall, I hadn't really, John and I talk on the phone infrequently, so to actually, be over at the house and hanging out and talking and just, shooting the shit is like, especially since I'm leaving sometime this year, it was really priceless, you know, I know the dude since I'm like 16, 17, you know, so he's always been a major part of my life. But like I said, the last X number of years, it's been, you know, over the phone. I'm trying to remember the last time I was down there, and I think it was at Christmas, that big Christmas gathering. That could be 4 years ago this year, four last, five coming up, I guess. It's when, you know, Gymnasium, Hank Hayes, and Mrs. Hayes joined us. So I got to see Alan Sane, who's a very good friend of mine for a very long time. So, you know, any time I can actually spend in a room with him is good. And I got to spend some time with the Boogeyman. We all went out to dinner, I think, the previous Saturday. Oh, man, that was good. Piece of steak and even the vegetables were good. I wound up leaving the potatoes on my plate. But I ate the vegetables, which was like a you know what I mean. The drummer from the Josie and the Pussycats. I ate all those. And I ate all the steak. And, you know, I said to myself when I sat down, this is Lestrade on Staten Island, you know. I didn't know what I wanted exactly because I've had the steak Siciliano, which I can't find around here. I can only find chicken Siciliano, go figure. Same type of preparation almost, but not quite. So I was thinking the whole time, because I knew we were going to a restaurant, right? And I said, the whole time, I'm going to get the steak Siciliano because I never get to have it. I'm going to get the steak. And then I sat down at the table, and the dude came around to take orders, and he said, oh, there's like one T-bone left. You know, first come, first serve. So I'm like, oh, I'll take that. Medium rare, I'll take. Don't even, just kind of sear it off. Just kind of sear the outside off. Don't worry about the inside. So he's like, okay. And he came back like 10 minutes later and said, we gave it away to someone else. And I was like, oh, man. And I'm like, well, what do you got? And he's got sirloin. So I said, I had sirloin steak. If I had it to do all over again, I probably would have ordered the steak Siciliano, which is what Alan Sane ordered. And it looked delicious. But I got this thing about this restaurant, you know. Whenever I go in there, I generally tend, you know, they give you a little salad, you know. You don't have to order. It just comes with the meal, you know. And there's copious amounts of bread and butter on the table. So I'm a big bread and butter guy. I love bread. Bread and butter and soda will probably be the death of me if it isn't some woman with a hatchet. Okay? If it isn't that thing, it'll be those things. I said to myself when I sat down, and I kept saying, you know how you keep saying something in your head because you really want to reinforce it? You know, it's like, so like for 2 days before we went to this restaurant, I'm like, I will only eat one piece of bread. I will only eat one. I kept saying it over and over and over. And you know what? I ate one piece of bread with a fair amount of butter on it. And when I say fair, I mean a fist-sized amount of butter. Yeah. Don't get excited. But it was good. Well, I savored it. It was great. And I had plenty of room to enjoy my food. They also have really good Coke there. And when I say that, I mean Coca-Cola. Their ratio of syrup to fizziness, I guess it's seltzer, actually, I thought I heard a noise. Shouldn't be hearing noises. Shouldn't be hearing noises here. I don't know what that was. I'll figure it out. But, yeah, it was good. It was excellent. It was, yeah, 100% great. Good company. I had a cannoli for dessert. And I was so stuffed just from this, but I managed to get the cannoli down, you know. And, you know, isn't it amazing? And I say this from time to time. Isn't it amazing how the cannoli filling is the same stuff that they make those, like, really not too great tasting cheesecakes out of? It's that same ricotta type. I guess it's maybe the amount of sugar. I know the viscosity, there's a word, viscosity is different. And it was a real cannoli. It wasn't one of them chocolate-covered suckers. You know, I like chocolate, and I like cannolis. I don't necessarily like them in copious amounts together. And oftentimes, they'll like, it's called enrobing. It's just like, Malamars. Don't get me going with Malamars, by the way. It's just like Malamars, where they enrobe. And what happens is it keeps the air from getting in, so the cannoli is really, like, fresh all day. I don't want that shit. I don't want that. No, just give me a cannoli, a couple few chocolate chips across the top, a little powdered sugar, nice shell. Yeah, the shell's got to be good. You know, and that's what they served me, and it was great. And did I have coffee? I think I had coffee. Yeah. Altogether, it was a great meal. It was a really, really, really good meal. It was a princely meal, I tell you. And then I went home and smoked some more weed. Oh, and I smoked some weed afterwards, too, or before, too, now that I think of. You know, and I got this question going. I asked John, and he says, when you smoke weed, and he would know, right? When you smoke weed and you eat something, you become less high. Because this is a thing that I read on the internet where there seems to be some sort of controversy about this. Now, this is true. It'll make whatever you're eating taste better instantly. Seriously. But, you know, the idea of is it actually causing you to lose some of your highness? So John thinks it is, and I've got other people who think it's not. So I tried to smoke a little bit before each meal so I could savor the food. I got turned on to bacon on pizza again. I hadn't thought about it since the last time I was there. John likes bacon on his pizza. And not these little crumbly things, like actual strips of bacon. And it's damn good. It's damn good, I tell you. So I don't know if I put on any weight or not. I might have. It was pretty, you know, for me, like I said, still hanging around 225. I don't eat, like, a lot. Like, I'm not a breakfast person, and he's, like, a breakfast person. So he'll be sitting there eating his bowl of cereal or whatever it is, and I'll be, like, drinking a Coke. It's like the first thing I would do is go over to the refrigerator, grab a Coke, pop it open, and start drinking a Coke. And they were cold, man, except the ones that were in the door. I think he was concerned. Yeah, at one point, he was actually concerned about the number of sodas that I was drinking. But if you figure six would be a case, and then I think it was a 12-pack plus whatever. It's, I mean, over the course of 4 or 5 days, it's not that much soda. I mean, at 12-ounce cans, come on. You know, if we're talking like 2 liter bottles or something, you know, I'd be concerned. I do have to start taking my blood sugar again on a daily, just to see what's going on and make sure it's not like too crazy high. And I've been feeling, like I said, I've just been feeling kind of tired. I think I got into a rut over at John's, and it was becoming kind of frustrating for both of us, because I couldn't get Apache to behave. I couldn't bend it to my will like I used to. And I guess that's really like the disturbing thing is I would have never thought that what was required of me to get things running and stable would have been over my head. Those of you who are longtime listeners know that I've built a couple of few web oriented, you know, whether it be websites or audio servers or both or whatever needed to be done. Migrating servers, whatever the heck needed to be. I've done it, you know, and I've hosted servers out of here. I may do video. I'm not sure. I want to make sure everything's kosher. And then I may throw a video server on that box, which actually doesn't have a name. We should name that box. Okay, well, when it's all up and running, we can name it. But it was never over my head. So I don't know whether in part it's the drugs, because I have been smoking a lot of drugs. Whether it's my drugs, whether it's my my prescription drugs, my pharmaceuticals, if you will. I was like looking at another language. It might as well have been in Chinese. And that kind of scares me. You know, I'm hoping that this isn't a long-term limitation that I need to accept. You know, I'll be 53 in April, but, you know, I've been on these drugs now for like 6 years. It'll be like almost 7 years by the time April rolls around. And I'm concerned that there is long-term effects, because, man, I used to just whiz through this stuff. It would be like, boop, 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 boop. I had some time. I had a hard time when I first started working on things, like, again, 6 years ago when I first started, when I first, quote-unquote, came back to the microphone, as they say. I needed to migrate from the original metal box that John was on to a virtual server that he had bought. They had planned on doing it, and I think Big Steve had passed away, and he was taking care of the metal box. I was on like Seroquel and like whatever the worst combinations that you could, that someone who knows about these things could think of. That's what I was on. So I was sleeping like, you know, 18 hours a day, more even. And I couldn't figure it out. I was like, holy smokes. And then eventually I figured it out because there wasn't the stress factor. There wasn't the mission critical right now factor. So I think that that's part of it too. I think there was a certain amount of stress from everybody involved with the project, meaning the most recent project, to get it up and running. Mostly John and I. But, you know, Dave as well. And it's a natural thing to want to, hey, let's get this thing rolling from people who don't necessarily understand how to do it. Yeah. Because I've said to John multiple times, I've said, if you can find somebody who wants to do this for you, I'll gladly tap out, man. I'll gladly tap out. You know, I'd rather be more concerned about cleaning my cat's box than fucking taking care of the server, quite frankly. But it's one of the things that I can do. And I said this to John, it's true. It's one of the things that I've always been able to do, for better or for worse, that contributes towards keeping John on here. You know, helping enhance what he does, you know, contributing towards what he does. Because obviously I'll never be as talented as John in regards to radio. I've accepted that a long time ago. And that was not the path that I chose when I decided to start doing stuff on my own. It wasn't, well, can I do Johnny Lightning or not? Johnny Lightning does just fine. He doesn't need any help. Although when he dies, I'm going to steal the Johnny Lightning name and I'm going to play the shows back at quarter speed. That's now a private joke. But yeah, it was, you know, my takeaway from the experience, other than obviously the frustration, of hitting brick walls for a couple of few days in a row there, was being able to spend time with the man himself. I mean, you know, Johnny Lightning fans, they get him for 3 hours and 6 hours a month, you know? I'm luckily able to talk to him on the phone on a semi-regular as a person, you know, it's like just a regular. But I can't, you know, again, I can't stress how much I enjoyed actually spending time with him. I think maybe my aunt passing away had something to do with that, you know, the idea of not taking things for granted. So I think that was going through my mind. The dude's got like 20 years on me. He always has. And that's not going to change. I don't think that's going to change, you know. So that being said, you know, I kind of want to hold on to what I had for as long as I can. You know, and I appreciate the producer understanding that, you know, on that level, aside from what needed to be done technically, there was just, you know, me being able to spend time with the old man. It was the equivalent of us throwing the ball around. A lot of great music, a lot of great jingles, you know. He's got a normal daily routine of to a degree of things that he listens to, and it's all liberal stuff. So he was concerned that I was going to get like upset and too much liberal stuff. And it's like, no, as a matter of fact, one or two things he played for me, I did not appreciate the politics, but the technical execution and delivery were amazing, you know, very much, to tell you the truth, like John himself. I don't share John's politics, but his, what he does and how he does it is simply amazing. You don't necessarily need to be a liberal to appreciate John Lightning. And it was the same with these two other podcasts. Man, this fucking podcast, all over the place. I keep saying it, you know, and that's what I say. You know, I told John, every show, I pretty much, at the end there, I pretty much thank people for taking the time to listen, because there's just so much stuff out there. It boggles one's mind. There are people pretty much doing this for a living. They're monetized and they're doing it for a living. Are you really serious? You know, no. I wouldn't even, you know, I like my amateur status. I can still play in the Olympics, although I guess they changed that back in 96. But still, you get my point. You know, to anyone I owe a phone call to, I'll get back in the next couple of days, by the way, just saying. I'm really wiped out. I'm really seriously kind of like limping along here. I mean, I'm not in pain or anything. I'm just tired. I don't remember being this tired in a good couple of years. I can say nothing as far as my ride went. You know, my travels, the travels of LF Midwood, the adventures of LF Midwood. I had to use my aunt's suitcase because my suitcase, finally, the suitcase that I used to use to when I went there, when I was smuggling drugs. I did not smuggle them in the suitcase, by the way. But that suitcase that I used to take with me to accompany me, my cat scratched the shit out of it. It's in shreds, pretty much. And it was one of those rolly ones, but it was a big one. So I had to use another suitcase. And I know my aunt had used my suitcase because I don't remember why. So in all the cleaning out, we found her suitcase in the sitting room. What was her sitting room? Because it's like nothing in there now. So the producer and I were kept eyeballing the suitcase, and I'm like, I'm going to need that suitcase. So I said, you know, can you take, because I didn't know what I didn't know what was coming out of that suitcase. I mean, I literally had no idea, you know. So I says to the producer, can you, so she actually opened it up one night, and it was nothing but like clean new clothes in there, which was like, really, oh, wow. I don't know how that happened. Maybe my aunt packed it and lost it in the house. Believe me, stranger things have been known to happen around here. But we didn't know for sure. So it turned out to be, wasn't as heavy duty as mine, because it's not, it wasn't as masculine. May you have a masculine son, grandson, godfather. No. No. Anyway, So, but it made the trip okay, and I was able to fit probably the same amount of stuff in there as I did. The only thing on it is it's black, right? But it's got all these white fleur-de-lis on it, and I don't mind fleur-de-lis. I'm going to come back part French whenever that thingy comes back. Should be like 6 to 8 weeks now, maybe even less. I'll get my results from my ancestry, so I'll have an idea of my ethnic breakdown, I guess. So I'm looking forward to that, but, it was a smaller, like I said, it was a small suitcase, and not for nothing. I get high end bags. I'm a bag whore. I'll admit it. I am a bag whore. And I have more than a couple of, Maxpedition bags, which are like really good. But other companies have kind of caught up with them over the last X number of years, but I always used to wear a sweatshirt, which the zipper is broken on. So I have to get that fixed. I got another sweatshirt, but it's not quite the same. I think you people understand, you know, anybody who has a piece of clothing that they're attached to, particularly an outer, you know, like an outer clothing in the winter. So I have to take the one that I like in. I didn't get a chance to do that before I left. So I had a new sweatshirt that was a bit thinner. And normally what I do is I have the what's called a Falcon 2. And it's a sweat. It's a friggin' knapsack. And I brought it with me every other trip down there because I can have it tight to my body and not worry about it. I can have my electronics in there because I never leave my electronics in the suitcase that go under the bus thing. That would be insane. So, you know, I keep my tablet on me, and I'm just so used to having it. But I was leaving when I left with my heavy, because it was cold. If you recall, 2 weeks ago, it was really cold. It was cold here, and it was cold in New York. I think it was colder here. But I have a Carhartt jacket, the Arctic one, that's got the nylon outside, corduroy, they call it. And the whatchamacall, the knapsack wouldn't fit over comfortably because it's made of corduroy too, which is really interesting, right? But so what I did was is I brought a, I think, Hazard 4 or Fort Hazard. I forget the name of the company, but I have a mini messenger, and I have a full-blown messenger, and I brought the full-blown messenger with my tablet and, you know, whatever I wanted to keep on my person to bring actually onto the bus carriage, you know, into the thing there. And I was worried because it was one strap, you know, carry bag and messenger bags are generally one strap. But it went really well. I would have no reservations using that as a travel bag. Unfortunately, I can't fit my camera in there. My camera bag is a whole other thing. It's also made by Maxpedition, but it's made like a tank. I've dropped it 3 times. My aunt saw me do it. I was woozy. I dropped the camera bag with the camera in it, and not nary a disturbance to the camera. So that thing's like bulletproof. But if I'm going to bring that, I could just bring my camera shit, you know, like 2 lenses, a flash and whatnot. And it's like, fuck it. You know, I'll just bring my, I have my phone with me. You know, it's as I discussed with gymnasium last night. It's obviously not the same. The size of the sensor is the dead giveaway there. But one of these days, you know, like I said, I want to get down to see Pinball Wizard, and I want to go and I want to see him, just him. I find mixing parties when I'm down there never really works out because people can never really get on the same page. So I'm hoping during the summer to get out to see Pinball Wizard, and then maybe one more trip to John's for barbecue, for staff barbecue, which I think would be good. And then I'm out. I'm gone. By then, we would have started packing this place up, and you know, it turns into a thing. There's more stuff here. I was having this conversation with the producer. It's like, I think I pretty much replaced everything that my ex-wife took from me. Now, I'm not saying that this was a conscious effort on my part, but I am saying that when I look around and it's like, you know, I don't have that. There's like one or two minor things that, like, one of these days, if I keep watching eBay, might pop up. Probably be mine. Wouldn't that be great? Don't you love paying for stuff twice? if it makes a great story, then I guess, yeah, maybe so. There is a fair amount of stuff to be packed up here. And, you know, I kept saying to John, I miss my cats. And I come in and they're like, oh, it's you. And I'm like, oh, okay. I would have expected a little bit more from that. You know, seriously, man. Especially from Spatsy. I would have expected more. He just was just kind of, he has been sleeping up on my head as of late. But that's because it's been cold. Yeah, it got cold again around these parts. It's been in the 30s, in the low 30s. I think it might even be in the low 30s right now. This room is always the warmest room. I think I've explained that before. For whatever reason, the studio office gets the most heat. The air conditioner is still in the window here, so I can feel a little air coming from it. It's not on, but I can feel a little air coming from it. But, you know, when I finish the show, you know, I do a mic drop with the headphones, or, well, a drop that doesn't hurt them. I put them down, and they're kind of sweaty, I gotta honestly say. You could definitely get some DNA off of those suckers if you know what I'm saying. So, and it's like, because I get warm in the ears. It gets just warm around my head. I might put the air conditioner on next week. Who knows? I am trying to get, and like, I will be back next week. I will be back next Saturday, hopefully with something a little bit more news and current events oriented. I know there's just tons of stuff going on out there that I paid no attention to within the last 10 days, last 2 weeks. No, not even a little bit. So I got some, I'll have some stuff to dig through on that level, which would be good. You know, like I said, this was just a proof of life. I'm still here, regardless of what they told you. I am still here. I don't even think I'm going to go long. I might even just do the 45. I'm coming up on the 45 mark. I may go a little bit longer. Everything still seems to kind of work here. It's been a while. Like I said, I'm using Butt. It's called B-U-T-T, Butt, for streaming to this Icecast server, which is, I think Area 51's Icecast server. And I could stream directly. I could have done to our server tonight, but it didn't. We kind of want to make that move unilaterally. And when I say unilaterally, I mean we want the server to be ready for audio, which it is now, and for serving files, because we want to build up the archive and not just start from scratch from now. I think John's got stuff that he's able to throw in that he's had for a bit, and perhaps from some other sources, a little bit of everything radio extravaganza. So there should be some maybe stuff you've never even heard before. So when that server is up and serving files, it'll be set up the same. It'll be about a year, month, and week, I think. Or maybe we won't even do week. Maybe just do year and month. And some of it could go quite far. We'll have to see how that rolls out. It's like I said. I like being able to help John, and I certainly like being able to make the programming more accessible to everyone, quite frankly. and you know, our appreciation for Larry and Brad and over there over at Area 51 is you know, I can't even describe, quite frankly, you know. I know that John was feeling a bit like he was maybe overstaying his stay on those servers that Larry has provided for the last 3-something months, going on 4 months. And, you know, I had the conversation with Larry. Larry's like, well, but it all goes around. I mean, you know, your programming helps Area 51 and helps BCQ. So for me to provide you with some way of being able to do that, you know, for however long it takes is no problem. You know, and I almost cried. I got teared up. I teared up a little bit, you know, because, you know, I know it's true. I know Larry a long time, you know, and I know he genuinely feels that way. But it's, you know, it was nice to hear. It was really nice to hear. And what was sad to hear on that call is Tom died. Tom Barner, who was a longtime engineer up at BCQ, passed away not that long ago. I believe there's been Facebook posts made and all that jazz. I was fortunate enough when I was in Dallas, and now this is now a long time ago. When I was in Dallas, this had to be even the beginning of the Dallas. So this is like 17 years ago, 15 years ago, something in there. When I was still doing internet stuff with BCQ on a regular basis, I would talk to Tom on the phone. We'd get into these long insomniac phone calls that would go on for a couple of few hours, you know, and it was a regular thing. And then I guess being up there, you're kind of isolated to a degree, you know, so having someone else to speak to on a semi-regular basis is a good thing. So yeah, I was truly sad to hear about his passing. He was a good dude. He was a good man. I don't know if I have, you know, I don't want to end on that bummer note, but I don't really don't know if I had too much left. Like I said, I've been running on fumes. I've been trying to get into the proper headspace for the last couple of hours, and I haven't necessarily been able to do that. Not that this would have been any better if I did, but anyway. Focus is focus, and I need to focus on Saturdays. And as I understand, John needs to focus on Sundays. You know, it's funny, all the things that I was like, why does he do that? Why is it like that? I don't understand. When I started doing things on my own, it became like crystal clear to me. It's like, oh, I get that now. So he's taught me a lot that I didn't even realize that he did, you know, as I get a little bit older into like trying to produce something, God damn it. You know, and I say this to you all the time out there, you know, not for nothing, social media, podcast, do something. Frigate, man, I don't even care what your fucking politics are. Just do something. There's just, you know, people get away with shit because other people let them. So we have to kind of stop letting them. You know, and there needs to be more talk. There needs to be more conversation. There needs to be more discussion on an overall level for this republic to survive. I've always felt that, and I still do. Anyway, I started with those drugs again. I started with the Delords, right, based on the two-story Roscoe in there. And I'm going to go out with some old Roscoe solo. This would be, when was this? It was Eric Amble. I think it's the Topic album. And it's If You Gotta Go, Go Now. That being said, I'll be back next week. Do I need to do any, let me do a quick thing because it kills a minute or two. Not even up here. Okay, I don't even know why. Probably because I told her not to do one thing and she didn't do anything. So that's fine. If you head over to lfmidwood.com, I don't even have the site in front of me. If you head over to lfmidwood.com, you'll see lots of links. You'll certainly see access to my archives for the last six years or so. And if you look to the side, you'll see Take the Red Pill. That's some of my social media. And under that, you'll see favorites, and some of my social media is blended in there too, because because I keep saying it, I haven't found a news aggregator, a social media aggregator, I guess it is, aggravator, that I like. So anyway, check out the favorites. Some of, if not all, at any point during the week, wind up being stuff that I wind up using for the program. And if you go up top, over to the left, you see 11LR9. That takes you to Johnny Lightning's page, the home mothership at the moment. And if you go all the way over to the right, you'll see Grits Radio. That's Brad Reed and his wife, Valerie, doing a wonderful, eclectic job of producing a music show. Yeah. As does Larry Will on a Saturday. And Tim Tron's on Saturday. That whole Area 51 on Saturday thing is a great lineup. And they have a chat room. But the problem is that I wind up getting too caught up with what's going on elsewhere, and I'm not focusing on my old program, and it kind of started to suffer a little bit for it. So I was like, you know what, let me chill out and take care of my own program. So those are the links. Those are the people that we're grateful for. I'm going to, what am I going to do? I'm going to play Eric Amble, and then I'm getting out of here. So, again, and thanks for imbibing in every way you have, or any way you have. And stay golden, Pony Boy.
Listen to me, baby. I got something you should see. I want to be with you, girl. If you want to be with me. Yeah.
Midwood on the 11L Network.
We have reached the end of this program. Please return your host to the full upright position.
Stay tasteless and offensive. Love you, Joe, and love you. Bye for now.